let's just lift a hand to heaven a minute. Father, we thank you tonight for your word to us. We ask, God, that you would anoint this man here that's about to bring it forth. Lord, give me the words that I need to say tonight to your people. Let it bring edification, encouragement, enlightenment, and growth, and wisdom, and knowledge. And I thank you, Lord, that the word will not return void, but it will accomplish tonight what you have sent it to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, let's take our Bibles and let's go to the book of Romans. Now, we're teaching on Wednesday night what we're calling the ways of the Spirit. And we need to stay with this. I don't know, I'm almost done, but when the Holy Spirit releases me, we'll be done, but we'll go to something else. But we're calling this the ways of the Spirit. And we've been on this, I think, since about March. Been a long time, say a long time. But we are learning the ways of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me say one more time to you. I don't know all the ways of the Holy Spirit. I know the Holy Spirit. And I know the Holy Spirit has the ways of God. And the Holy Spirit lives in the life of a believer. And I know that He comes on a believer. And He comes on us so that the anointing will be upon our life to accomplish the will, the purpose, and the plan of God. You don't want to do anything for God without the anointing. Amen? Because the anointing, see, what does it do? It begins to lift off the heaviness, the burdens, the pressures. Sometimes people say, well, Pastor, how can you do that and put up with all this stuff? Well, you can't do it without the anointing. You can't do it without the call of God, and with that call, God will anoint you. Amen? To do whatever you do, to do whatever you're doing, you need the anointing of God. Amen? So we're calling it the ways of the Spirit. And, you know, there's times that all of us get there's times we get ahead of God. There's times we get behind God. Sometimes we get in the way. Sometimes we don't even know where He's at. I'm being serious. You know, we've got to be real about this thing. We're in pursuit of God. We who love God and we who have been filled with the Spirit of God, we're in pursuit of God all the time. And I hope that we're close enough and that you're close enough that whenever you fall off the track, that the Spirit of God is close enough to put you back on. Now, I know He's in us. I know He'll never leave us or forsake us because it's just like God being in there with you. But listen, how many know you have a will? You have a will, and you can become stubborn, you can become hard-headed, and you can do things to grieve the Holy Spirit. And so, tonight I want to talk about an aspect we haven't talked about in this Holy Spirit teaching, and that is the aspect of Holy Ghost prayer. The inspired-led prayer and Spirit-led prayer. Now, there's a difference. You know, a lot of times we'll just stop and begin to pray. Now, if somebody is not real spiritual or somebody is, you know, don't understand the moving of the Holy Spirit, they'll think they get cheated. Because the last thing they wanted to do when they come into church was to spend time in prayer. Now, I'm being serious. I'm not trying to be facetious or funny. But, you know, stop and think about this a moment. You cannot even become a Christian unless you learn how to pray. Come on. Now, here's the sad part. Here's what I see. Here's what I observe. That there are people, even in this church, they don't know how to pray. Let me walk over here. They don't know how to pray. Now, that's sad to be in a church like this where we're teaching all the time. And people don't know how to pray. You know, it would be like you don't know how to drive. You know, back a generation or so ago, I know in my grandmother's generation, most of the women, they didn't ever learn to drive. They just depended on their husband or somebody to take them wherever they needed to go. My grandmother, I don't think she ever learned to drive. Are y'all here? And you know, being a Christian and not learning to pray would be like saying, I've got a car, but I don't know how to drive it. Or I don't have a desire to drive. See, there has to be a desire in you to pray. And there has to be this Spirit-led and this Spirit-inspired prayer. There's a difference in that. And I want to talk to you about a few things here tonight as we look at some of these things. Because I don't know if that's the correct word. I feel sorry for those that don't know how to pray. And I know, because a lot of times we're in prayer and we're in prayer nights, and there's just some people that don't know how to pray. Well, I encourage you, learn how to pray. There is no excuse. This church needs prayers. The success and the future, where we go and the plan and the purpose of God depends on prayers. The prayers of the people God brings in this church, like you. Did you know that? That you have a responsibility to learn to pray? Now, here's what happens. People get used to having somebody else pray for them. A lot of people say, well, that it works. No. Listen to this. There's going to be times that you need somebody to agree or to pray for you about something. But really, that should be when you're young and immature in the things of God. You should get to a place where you don't have to ask people to pray for you. Sure, getting quiet in here now. Now, God wants us to grow up, okay? We're living in the last days, and we need to learn some things and get back, just like we prayed and we preached last week about the fire of God. I mean, remember last week. And I was preaching, I was steaming, okay? I was in third gear last week. But I come back and settle back down. You know, I was talking to Brother David Blanchard in Laredo today, and they kicked off their new semester of their Bible school. And I said, how's it going, David? He said, man, he said, we had our first kickoff service there at the Bible school. And he said, the fire of God came down in that building. Amen. He said, 69 people were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, what'd you say? He said, the fire of God fell. I said, well, you know what? We prayed and we preached about the fire of God last week. He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, it's a lost art. There's nobody praying for the fire of God. He said, well, I'll tell you what. The fire of God fell in our service, in that meeting. And so I'm just saying these things to you. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what He wants to do. He knows exactly what needs to be done. Are you listening to me? And there's going to be times, listen, that it's your prayer that's going to make the difference in your life. You can't just depend on somebody praying for you all the time and expect results. You need to learn to pray yourself in matters that regard or pertain to you. Nobody is as close to the situation that you're in as you are. Amen. Now, you can tell me a lot of things, but how many know you're closer to the situation that you're in than I am in the situation that you're in? Are you following what I'm saying? So I'm saying all this. I want to recommend a book. I was just going through my stuff, and I can't find the one I wanted, but I found this one. I've had this thing since 1980. I was looking at this thing as old as the hills. You would have to be, and they've got a new form of it. You can look it up. It's called The Art of Prayer by Brother Hagin. It's called The Art of Prayer, and they've all that stems out of this book. This is one of them. He had like three courses back in the early 70s, one on faith and one on prayer and one on the Holy Spirit. And this happens to be the one on prayer. And the book, The Art of Prayer, really has been revised out of this original teaching. But here's what I want to tell you. If you don't know how to pray, save up $10, and I believe it was 95 cents, and get that. I'm not here selling books. I'm not going to make any money off of books or anything. I'm just trying to help you. Okay? You need to learn how to pray. You would have to be illiterate. You would have to be from a foreign planet, not understand English, and cannot read to not be able to learn how to pray if you'll get this book. Are you here? You know why? Because Brother Hagin was a mighty man of prayer. And he learned through mighty, great men of prayer. I was just scanning through this. Let me just, man, there's so many things here. He was talking about Charles Finney. He was talking about John Wesley. Anybody ever heard those great, you know, modern, I say modern, they were back in the 19th and the 20th century, but they were modern pioneers of evangelical Christianity and, you know, established, like John Wesley established the Methodist Church. Well, the Methodist Church began by the fire falling. John Wesley would go into a city and the whole city would get saved. I mean, he would walk down the sidewalk of those little towns and people would come out and fall on their knees and repent. Are you here? And I like what he says. This is about Charles Finney had the same kind. He had intercessors. He had people that understood and knew how to pray the fire of God down. And here's what he said. Let me just kind of read this one little excerpt. There's so many things in here. Because really what he does is he teaches you how to pray, but he also uses examples of results of prayer and the thoughts and even autobiography of these great, you know, pioneers of Christianity, if you will, their prayer experiences, okay? And you can learn a lot from those things. And, he talks about praying for people and the fire of God, you know, fall and people actually be levitated off of their sick bed. Say, oh, I don't know if I believe that. Well, look, I'm going to show you a scripture in a moment. See, get in the believing mode, not in the disbelieving mode. Amen. Do you believe God's a healer? Amen. Do you believe God's power is powerful? Amen. Look at this. Charles G. Finney, he said, I suppose, is the most outstanding exponent of prayer. He is known as a man who prayed down revivals. Now listen to this, prayed down revivals. As far as church history is concerned, he had the greatest success concerning converts. Now listen to why, okay? Because how many know it's important sometimes to know something, but it's also just as important to know why. Because, well, let me just read it. He said, more of them stayed saved. Now listen to that. More of them stayed saved than since the days of the Apostle Paul. It's common knowledge that 85% of Finney's converts remain saved. Now, what's he talking about? Well, you know what he's talking about. People get touched by a message. People get touched emotionally in a church service. They come to the altar and they say a sinner's prayer. But the question is, did they really get saved? Because salvation brings a change. You don't come to an altar, get touched by God, and then leave this place the same way. Are you here? You don't the next day forget what you did. Are you with me? He said 85% of Finney's converts remain saved. And Moody, who was a great evangelist, but it's common knowledge that only about 50% of his converts continued with the Lord. And he attributed this because of Finney's dedication to pray and to pray the fire of God down and to pray revival in the city. And listen to this. He said, we've had a mighty move. Now remember, this book was written and these things were written probably in the 50s, okay? He said, we've had a mighty move in these last 50 years or so in the Pentecostal circles, but it's common knowledge that not over 50% of the converts have remained true to the Lord. And so Finney has the greatest success number wise of anyone since the days of the Apostle Paul. Now listen to this. Whole cities, he would go into cities, just like John Wesley, whole cities were stirred. For instance, I read in his autobiography that in 1829, He went to Rochester, New York, and conducted a meeting, and practically everyone, listen to this, everyone in town got saved. Now, look at this. All of the honky, they called them honky-tonks back then. It says all the honky-tonks and the beer joints were closed down. Hey, listen to me. In a town, now that's a big city. I don't know how big it was in 1829, but, you know, nevertheless, when you close down all the honky-tonks and all the cantinas and the beer joints, let me know, you prayed some prayer. Amen. It says, there wasn't a place in town left where one could buy anything to drink. Nearly everybody in town had to get saved to do that. The only theater in town closed up. They had vaudeville back then and said there was no need to put a show on, and the reason, because nobody would go once Finney would leave the town. It says there was such a move of God that the circus came to town one time after his preaching, and there was one showing and only two people went to Ringling Brothers Circus. They had to close up and leave. Everyone was interested in God. The revival was on, and they just weren't interested in anything else. Now, you can learn, and that's what he goes on to say. He says, you can learn something from somebody that prayed like that and had the results that they had. So I encourage you, get that book, The Art of Prayer. Now, this is the actual study course, but it's revived out of this thing right here. And he makes a statement, too. Let me read the one from John Wesley out of The Art of Prayer. Here's what he says. Here's what John Wesley said out of his biography. He said, it seems that God is limited by our prayer. He said, it seems that God is limited by our prayer life, and seems that God can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks Him. Now, this is coming from John Wesley. He's saying that evidently, in what he has found out and from his experience in prayer and understanding the things of God, is that humanity limits God, because God will only move on behalf of someone when He's asked to do so. Now, what happens if nobody's asking? See, he later said this statement, and it bothered Brother Hagin. He said, why God would be limited by a human being's prayer life? So he went into the Word, and he found out God would limit Himself by someone's prayer life. Now, he wrote that in 1949. In other words, God is limited in the earth by you. Not by anybody else, but He is limited in your life by you. And if you're not seeing the results you want to see, and things of God are not happening like you want them to happen, it's a direct result of your prayer life. Quit depending on somebody else to pray for you. Learn how, in a Spirit-filled, Pentecostal, Holy Ghost, Word of Faith, Bible-believing church, learn how to pray like the best of us. Are you here? Come on, somebody. All right. So, today, you know, he makes a statement. He said the average believer knows more of the Bible, and that was back then. He said the average believer knows more of the Bible than the Word and the Word of God than the original apostles did. Well, think about it. The apostles, well, you say, yeah, they walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. How long have you walked with Jesus? And not only that, they didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a process by which they could go back and look at all the references and the cross references and get all the Scripture. All they had is whatever the Holy Spirit revealed to them. But see, you have the same Holy Spirit inside of you. You have more Bible in you, the average Christian, the person, you know, if you sit at this church at least a year, you've got more than the apostles had. But yet, the works or the results are less than what they had. So we have to make a corollary. We have to make a connection there. Okay, what's happening? There's times, you know, sometimes I'll kind of get after you a little bit about diet and exercise. I know you don't like to hear those things. And this is the problem. Everybody in here has probably heard about diet and exercise. How many of you know you need to eat properly, especially the older you get? And how many know you need to exercise? Move it. Move it. How many know you need to move it? Amen? Everybody knows about it. But look, how many people eat right? Don't act, you know, shake your head and act spiritual. How many of you exercise? Everybody knows about it. But how many actually do it? It's the same thing with prayer. You speak on prayer and everybody goes, oh, no. You know, prayer ought to be exciting for you. You ought to love to want to pray. But it's like diet and exercise. I mean, everybody knows about prayer. And a lot of people know the scriptures on prayer. But the question is do you pray? Do you pray what God says to pray and how God says to pray? Because there's different kinds of prayer for different kinds of situations. Now, I'm not teaching on prayer tonight, but I'm just talking about Spirit-led prayer, where there's an unction from the Holy Spirit to pray for someone or something. And how many know if it's the Holy Spirit leading you to pray and you yield yourself and you know how to pray under the unction of the Holy Spirit, there's going to be some results. Holy Spirit does not waste His energy and directives. Something is going to happen when somebody yields to the Spirit. Now, if you're walking with God, you find Romans chapter 8? Come on, let me read it to you right quick. You thought I wasn't going to read the scripture to you, didn't you? What time is it? That clock, oh, okay. As if it's counting down or is it time? Look at this. Verse 14. You know the scripture. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, what? These are the sons of God. Now, we've talked about the Holy Spirit in us. Now, to be led by the Spirit, don't you want to be led by the Spirit in everything in your life? I mean everything. Well, the Holy Spirit is going to lead you to pray. That's called inspired prayer. Inspired by the Holy Ghost to stop whatever you're doing and pray. But you know what? You have to learn to be led to pray that way, because what will happen is that on the inside you will feel something not right. You will feel that there's something, you know, there may even be a symptom, a false symptom. You may have a stomach ache. You may have something going on down in there, rumbling around, and you think, my goodness, I need to go take a couple of Advil and go sleep a while. No, you need to get on your knees and pray, because the Holy Spirit is prompting you and urging you to pray for somebody. Are you listening to me? I can't tell you how many times. And we just give you a lot of examples where, you know, Spirit of God, just stop us. Time she prayed for her brother, he would have been shot and killed. Intercede and begin to pray, see, for those areas. You know, times that we've lost something. You know, you lose something. One time we lost a ring that somebody gave her, an expensive ring. And just begin to pray. And God showed us exactly where it was, the Spirit of God. See, so I'm talking about there's an inspired or an inspiration called Spirit-led prayer. And then the other verse there is down in verse 16. We don't, you know, have time to read it. It says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So when you feel something, when you learn to pray, you learn that that's the Holy Spirit bringing an unction into you and upon you to pray for someone. To pray for something. Are you here? Okay. Now, here's another scripture. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Let me give you the scriptures. This is what we call praying or Spirit-led prayer. Now, we can pray, and there's a lot of things we can pray about, but when it's Spirit-led, it's going to be effective prayer. It's going to be the power of God to accomplish the thing that you're praying for. Well, here's what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6. Now remember, this is the whole armor of God prayer. And prayer, whether you realize it or not, is part of the armor. It's part of the armor of God. Now look what it says in verse 18, again for the sake of time, okay? Here's what it says. Praying how often? How often? Okay. Praying always with all prayer, or as the Greek says, all kinds of prayer. And there's numerous kinds of prayer mentioned in the New Testament. Look at this. It says prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. There's going to be times that you need to pray. This is why we teach you to be filled with the Holy Spirit in this church. I know there's churches that don't want people filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, they don't say that directly, and they don't want people to speak in tongues, but all those things have a reason. All those things have a purpose. There's going to be times when you don't know how to pray like you should, and the Holy Spirit in you, through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, will pray through you, and it will pray the will of God. He says, in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now let me say, we are commanded by God to make supplication for all the saints. There's a difference between supplication and intercession. Intercession is prayer for the lost. Supplication is prayer for the saved. How many know there's a lot of Christians that are struggling? There's a lot of Christians that are backslidden. There's a lot of Christians that need a touch of the fire of God in their life to get up and get going in the things of God. What I'm trying to say to you is this, is that you don't know how to pray for all the saints. It tells you to pray for everybody. Hey, young people, you're supposed to pray for everybody in the church. Well, how do I pray for them? You're going to have to learn to pray in the Spirit. You're going to have to be Spirit-led in your prayer. Say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, do you know how to drive? How'd you learn to drive? See, how are you going to pray? You're going to pray, get you a book called The Art of Prayer and learn how Holy Ghost prayer works. You see, that's, I like what he entitled it, The Art of Prayer, because it's a lost art in the church. The church has come to a place where, hey, we got a pastor, let him pray. Well, we got an intercessory prayer group, let them pray. Well, I've noticed that the intercessory prayer group, most people don't even pray there. They're probably coming to learn how to pray. So maybe I need to make some adjustments. Maybe we need to teach those that come how to pray so that when they come, they can pray. Amen. All right. All right. But what does he say? And here's what Paul said. And for me. Do you realize, congregation, guys, gals, that you have an obligation and you have a duty to pray for your pastor? That's why I tell you, draw. Don't come in here and just sit and say, well, another beautiful night, beautiful service. No, draw. I've spent time with the Lord. I went before God. I've put His Word in me. But you know what? You need to pray that there's no cloud. There's no hindrances. Come on. And that the Spirit of God will use me and speak through me. And God will have something to say to you. Right? That's why you draw from that. That's why you learn to not just hear a message, but you learn to listen. Right? Because what you hear, you will begin to apply. What you just listen to, well, another great night. Oh, he preached pretty good that night. You start grading. I didn't say degrade. I said you grade. Like, well, I give him a B+. On a scale from 1 to 10, I guess Sunday that was an 8. Or, you know, whatever. No. You don't grade me. Pray for me, okay? If your pastor's preaching bad, that's because somebody ain't praying. Now, I'll take some of the responsibility. I'm just saying, listen to me. I'll do my part, but you got to do your part, amen? You got to want something to chew on. You don't want to go into a restaurant and get Purina One. Come on. Science diet or whatever. No, you want filet mignon. I said you want chocolate mousse and no calories. And just get it all, baby. Amen. And walk out of here slim and trim, but fat and strong in the Lord. Amen. In the spirit man, you are Superman. So take off your Clark Kent and your Lois Lane and get in the phone booth and get in the Word of God and come out as super men and women of God. Okay, that's what we're talking about, okay? So, he said, Paul said, and you pray for all the saints, you pray for me, and he said, that I might have utterance maybe given to me, that I might open my mouth boldly. You know, some of the things that I say, you have to have boldness to say them. I said some pretty bold things Sunday. You know what? You're going to have some boldness to say that and to make known the mysteries of the gospel. Here's what it says. Let me read out. Can you put that up in Amplified 18? Let me read it to you right quick. It says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. And I think the Weymouth translation, we don't have that, but it says, pray without ceasing. And it says, entreaty on every fitting occasion in the Spirit, and be always on the alert to seize opportunities of doing so. That's why he says that you pray always, because you should be looking for promptings. You should be looking for the opportunities. The Spirit of God is trying to pray through you, right? The Holy Spirit doesn't just come in a Casper the Friendly Ghost, you know, a suit and start praying for people. No, he uses people to pray, okay? Let's go over right quick to, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, because of time here. Now, let me just give you the New Testament. I told you the New Testament, I don't have time to teach on prayer, touch on all these, but the New Testament talks about nine kinds of prayer. When he said different kinds of prayer, you need to learn how to pray all nine of these. Okay, they're all found in the New Testament. Let me just list them for you right quick. There's the prayer of faith. That's found in Mark 11, 24. James chapter 5. There's the prayer of consecration and dedication. The only time that we pray, God, if it be your will, is when you believe God's calling you to be a missionary in Africa. And say, well, Lord, if it's your will, I'll go. You see, that's the only time. Because any other time we're praying, if it be your will, like to heal, then that means we're praying in doubt and unbelief, okay? Then there's the prayer number three, the prayer of commitment. And there's number four, the prayer of worship. Luke 24, 52, the prayer of commitment is 1 Peter 5, 7. There's the prayer of agreement, Matthew 18 and 18 through 20, where two of us agree. There is number six, the prayer are in the Spirit. When the Bible talks about pray in the Spirit, he's talking about praying in the Holy Ghost. When you're talking about praying in the Holy Ghost, you're talking about praying in tongues. Okay? Number seven is united prayer, Acts 4:23 through 39. And then there's the prayer of supplication, and there's the prayer of intercession. Okay? Those are the nine kinds of prayer that you'll find in the New Testament. Now let's go over here to 1 Timothy, because let me just kind of close it here with this to you about prayer for all the saints. Pray for the man of God. Pray that the Word will, you know, go into the hearts and the lives of the people. Pray that God will have something for you every time we come in here and meet, so that you can grow in faith and you can grow stronger in the things of God. And then the supplication is learning to pray for other Christians. Intercession is learning to pray for the lost. Now, we can intercede for our nation. Are you here? In Rick Renner's book, I think you have that one. He didn't call it the armor of God. He calls Dress to Kill. And he talks about prayer. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, but the prayer is the javelin of the Spirit. There's a difference. Because a javelin, say, you can pray right there sitting down, and you can throw a javelin over to Iraq. You can throw a javelin over to the White House. You follow what I'm saying? You can throw a javelin, see, to any corner or any part of the world. So when you pray, see, you're throwing that pinpointed javelin to hit its target. And that's why you have to learn to pray in the Spirit and let yourself be led by the Spirit so that you can throw those javelins to hit the targets where they'll make a difference in the world. Because why? God is not going to do anything for anybody unless somebody asks. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's read here. 1 Timothy chapter 6. No, it's 1 Timothy. Where did I tell you to go? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, why are my markers in 6? Okay, here we go. It says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for what? For all men, for kings, and for all. We don't have king in this country, but we have a president. Hello? And we have a duty to pray. Because if we don't pray, some ugly things can happen. Are y'all here? Okay, so we need to know how to pray. We can't just depend on the intercessory group. He says, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead what? A quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And then just one more here over in the book of James. I'm not teaching on prayer. I'm just teaching you tonight about yielding yourself to the Spirit to learn how to pray, to learn how to make supplication in the Spirit, and also how to intercede in the Spirit. Again, let me just remind you and let you know this. We need this church to pray. We need this church to learn how to pray. Ever since we started the church, I believe, maybe with the exception of the first month or two, we've always had a time of dedicated prayer for this church. This church would not be here if we had not dedicated a particular time and service to pray. Now, we've changed it through the years. We've prayed early in the mornings. We've prayed on different days of the week or nights of the week. But we've always had some type of prayer for this church. If we did not and we had not, this church would not be here today, let me assure you. We probably wouldn't be here today had we not learned the art of prayer. See, these things impact you and they make a difference in your life. You learn how to quit depending on other people to pray for you and learn how to pray for yourself. And then when you get built up, then you learn how to pray and intercede not only for the lost, but the Christians that are too weak are not willing to learn how to pray. Now, look, here's what it says. Let me close with this. He says, is anyone among you suffering? Depending on what translation you have, the word affliction, which means pain or test or trials. Do you know anybody tonight going through tests or trials? Now, here's what happens. Most people that don't pray, when a trial comes to their life, and you've seen this, when a test comes to their life, what happens? They run from God. They run away. They even run away from church. Instead of, when you pray, it'll bring you back to church. It'll bring you closer to God. When you don't pray, it'll take you away from church and away from God. Just watch it. Just watch it. I'm not prophesying, I'm not negative doom and gloom. I'm just telling you, that's how it works in that realm. You always know when somebody gets under a test and a trial whether they're praying or not. He said, if anyone among you suffers, let him pray. Did you notice? It didn't say call a prayer chain. It didn't say, you know, call Oral Roberts University Prayer Ministry. It said, let him pray. Remember, you need to learn how to pray. Because you're closer to the situation than anybody else. It says, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Now look at this. Is anyone among you sick? Now, this is interesting. He said, let him call for the elders of the church. Now, it looks almost like that's a contradiction to the previous verse. But P.C. Nelson, he explains that in the book here too, and he studied this out. He said, really, the rendering of that is talking about weak, immature Christians, baby Christians, that don't know how to pray for themselves. So when a baby Christian gets sick or a Christian that's not going to get in the Word and learn how to pray the Word, they're going to have to call for the elders of the church. And that's okay. We're here to pray for you. But I'm also here to encourage you to learn how to grow up in the things of God, learn how to mature and get the Word of God in you so you can pray the Word. Because the Word is what's going to work. All right? So, he said, you call for the, let him pray, he said, over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And what? The prayer of faith. See, I believe that I receive, but what about you? See, You're going to have to learn to believe. Remember what I said, you really can't, you cannot be effective, and really you can't be a Christian without learning how to pray. And I guess that's why I'm telling you, it's sad when I see people, even in this church, they don't know how to pray. And that the Spirit of God just arrested me on those things, okay? So he said, confess your trespasses to one another. That don't mean you go to your buddy or somebody and tell them everything you've ever done wrong. No, if you offend them, if you know that you have faulted against them, you go to them and you confess that and you get it right, okay? Pray for one another that you may be healed. Look at the rest of the verse. It says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Are you reading that? I want to read out of the Amplified. Would you put that in the Amplified right quick? It says, verse 16, it says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. And look at the last part up there. You got an Amplified? Look at the last part. It says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Now, that's what he's saying. And he goes on and he talks about Elijah praying. And what did Elijah pray? He prayed that there would be no rain. Remember? And for 3.5 years, it didn't rain. Now, can you imagine? A lot of people pray for rain. And we had a hot, long summer, didn't we? All those days of 100. And finally, we got some rain. But could you imagine going 3.5 years without rain? There's probably some people mad at Elijah. And when God told him, and he was led by the Spirit of God, he prayed for rain. And what happened? It rained. Now, that's what we're talking about. The effectual, fervent prayer, okay? We're talking about, stand up with me. That's what we're talking about, that it induces the power of God. See, you don't realize what you have available to you that's already on the inside of you when you learn the art of prayer, when you learn how to pray. Are you with me, church? Are you understanding what I'm trying to teach you? So, I encourage you tonight, make a commitment, just like you would learn to drive. How many of you don't want to depend on your mommy and your daddy take you everywhere you go all the rest of your life? Come on. And how many of you don't want to use potmobile? How many know what potmobile is? No. We're talking about walking, Kathy. You know, pot, the Spanish. You're looking at me like, what are you saying? Come on now. No. You don't want to depend on having to have somebody pray for you all your Christian life. You've got to learn you can take authority. And you've got to learn. Now you also learn you can't pray against somebody's will. Now, some of you may be praying for your husband or your wife or whatever. But see this, their will has to be softened up to the things of God. Now, sometimes they don't want to listen and they don't want to hear it. But that's where you learn to never give up. Why? Because God never gives up. Because it's easy to get frustrated and say, man, Lord, just strike him with lightning. No, that's not the way you pray. That's not the way you intercede. Amen. Or, you know, I'm just tired of this guy. Man, he's just rubbing me the wrong way. Well, that's not the way you pray. See, you're just praying. You might, like Brother Hagin said, you might as well just pray, twinkle, twinkle, little star. That's what he said. You know, no, you want your prayers to be effective. How are they going to be effective? By being Spirit-led and the prayers praying the Word of God. You say, well, Pastor, that means I got to learn Scripture. Yeah, it does. It sure does. So in Jesus' name, come on, let's lift our hands. I want everybody in our church, I want everybody to learn